What's up, world? Welcome to the Positive Truth, uplifting and positive news for a more progressive society. Tim, what are we trying to bring?
Here at the Positive Truth, we're trying to bring awareness, empowerment, inspiration, optimism, and understanding to communities everywhere.
Tim, how are you doing?
I'm doing well, man. Got my run in this morning. I'm doing good. How are you doing, JP?
Doing wonderful. Ready to spread this positive news. But before we get to that, we have to tell the world about t-shirts. Do you want to do it, Tim, or do you want me to?
Oh, you definitely got to get it after that.
So, if you're new to the Positive Truth, we have t-shirts. We've been talking about it. It feels like for 3 months, even though it's probably only been a month. It's our way of trying to spread some of this positivity we do with this positive and uplifting news. They are black or gray. They have our logo on the front and back. And every time you get a t-shirt, which is $20, basically we donate that $20 to charity, your choice of the American Foundation of Suicide Prevention, the Positive Tomorrows, which helps homeless children in Oklahoma City, and RAIN, which helps with suicide prevention. If you want to donate to all three, we can do that too. If you don't have the money to donate, you can go to our Twitter, our Instagram, or our Facebook pages. Twitter at @TPT_podcast, Instagram at The Positive Truth, and Facebook at The Positive Truth Podcast. Get us 10 new followers, and we will send you a t-shirt for free and donate the money. Yeah.
You killed that today. I see that, man. I hear you. Good job, JP. Good job. Guys, man, going on to what JP said, though, really fast. If you guys get 10 followers on any of our social media platforms, we will send you a shirt, like he said. This past week alone, we've gotten over 30 plus people on Facebook just alone, not even counting Instagram or Twitter right now. Those people that are adding friends, they are getting these free t-shirts. Don't think we're joking around when we say it. We're really trying to get these t-shirts out there in our community so you guys can see, hey, we got positive news out there as well, not just this regular negative news. So if you guys want a free t-shirt, man, all you gotta do is get on your social media, which you guys are already on anyway. So let's do this. Let's change the world.
Absolutely. After you get those 10 followers, just send us an email at thepositivetruth@gmail.com and we will send you the t-shirt.
Yes, sir.
Tim, you have 4 stories. I have 3 uplifting and positive news stories. Get it, Tim? Get it.
Let's go. Well, man, my first one comes from Wales. I don't want to say the city because I'll mess it up, but I'll try. It's Caernarfon, Wales, but I'm just going to say Wales. Miss Wilkinson, Milan Wilkinson, at the age of 30, she was having a bad day, and she was having some suicidal thoughts. She decided to go for a walk and saw a bridge. It was a 130-foot tall bridge, and she was, you know, staring down on it. And this man comes walking by and sees her and basically says, hey, can you come down and give me a hug? Life could be worse. Life could be better. Even good. And the finality of this act would probably hurt everyone around you. And she thought to herself, like, I don't want to hurt everybody around me. So she came down and gave this man a hug, and she gives all the credit in this world to this man by just stopping and asking for a hug. She couldn't believe that just a small act could change her life and actually save her life. So that just shows you right there, people, such a small act by just smiling at somebody, asking for somebody a hug that looks like they're having a bad day. Any small gesture would help. This is positive news because this man could have easily drove by, walked by, ran by, whatever, by, and just let her go on about her business. But he decided to stop, take 2 seconds of his time to say something positive and be positive to somebody that was going through something negative. And now look at her. She's here to tell her story, and she's here to spread positivity like the rest of us.
One small bad thing can go a long way. One small positive thing can go even further.
Yeah, man. I you know why I love this story so much, JP? Like, if she would have committed suicide, we would have heard about this story and then we would have moved on. Like, it would have been a sad story, but this happens so often these days, and now we're hearing the positive news story, positive part to it. We wouldn't have heard the background story if she would have actually committed suicide, but now that we're hearing the background story about it because a positive thing happened out of it, I think it's beautiful. We definitely got to focus more on positivity in our lives these days.
Absolutely, man. Can't get caught up in all the fear and hate.
100.
That's
what do you got for
here,
us,
man?
Let them know, JP. Let them know.
So since you're in Wales, I'll go to Germany.
Cool.
Everyone knows it's Pride Month. It's Pride Week in a lot of places. And Germany has basically wiped the slate clean for 50,000 men convicted under anti-gay laws. Since World War II, Germany has, in their estimation, prosecuted 100,000 gay men and sent 15,000 to jail since World War II. Who knows how many they didn't count? There are 5,000 of these men that went to jail for being homosexuals, like still alive. And basically they're wiping their slate clean, and they're giving them basically $3,350 or 3,000 euros for ever being convicted, and about 1,500 more euros for each year in jail, which is not much money, but it helps. And it just shows, like, it takes time, sometimes a lot longer than we would like, but change, positive change does happen. And good job on the German parliament for saying, like, oh, this is probably a bad thing to convict people and send people to jail for being homosexual.
That definitely is a good job. No, man, for sure, patience definitely is a virtue, and we definitely got to stay patient because positive change will happen. We just got to stay consistent.
And there's a wonderful comic book that doesn't exist anymore, I guess, comic book strip. It's called Calvin and Hobbes.
Your favorite tiger, right?
Yeah. And so, like, most people don't realize, like, Calvin and Hobbes, they were named after philosophers. And Calvin has this one thing he says, and it's like, day by day, nothing seems to change. And then one day, everything's different. That's largely the truth with positive change. When you're in the midst of it, it feels like nothing's getting better. Nothing's getting better. And then one day you wake up and there's been a lot of positive change around you.
That's pretty, man. I just read a quote that has something to do with that, and I can't remember. It's going to bother me. It has something to do with, like, when you're painting a picture, you can't see the whole picture until you take a step back. And, I mean, it really goes to the same thing with what you're saying right now. I mean, while you're in the midst of it, like you said, you don't see any positivity. But after a while, that change comes, and it's something beautiful.
Absolutely, man. And you know you're going to remember that quote for, like, 3 hours whenever we're not recording.
I have to say it for Wednesday and stuff. Or Monday, I'm sorry. Well, let me go ahead and tell my next story, man. My next positive news story comes from North Carolina. It's actually really, really cool. I know my wife's going to love hearing about this. This woman started a coffee shop that employs 40 adults with mental disabilities. 40. Like, that is a lot of people with mental disabilities. Her name is Amy Wright, and she was inspired to come up with a business like this because two of her four children have Down syndrome. And whenever Wright and her husband discovered that nearly 70% of adults with intellectual and developmental disabilities do not have jobs, they decided they had to do something about it. And Wright said it hit her like a bolt of lightning. A coffee shop. She realized it'd be the perfect environment for bringing people together, seeing the staff taking orders, serving coffee. She felt like people would see what these people are capable of. So that's exactly what she decided to do. Our wait time is no longer than any of their competitors, Starbucks, Dunkin' Donuts, all that good stuff. And one of the coolest things about this whole entire coffee shop, all the profits from the coffee shop go to Wright's nonprofit, Able to Work USA.
What?
But yeah, man, it's like...
I actually didn't know that when I read this story.
Yeah,
all of them?
All profits, man. Every single penny. How crazy is this? I don't understand how she's paying her bills. I don't get it. But all profits are going to her nonprofit organization. It's awesome, man. And the thing that she's most proud of, which, I mean, she should be proud already as it is, just to have the idea, she should be proud. But the most thing she's proud of the most is that she's building bridges in the community. She's opening up that curiosity that these people are having. And I think this is amazing. It's an amazing story for sure.
Where is this at again? What city?
It is in Wilmington, North Carolina.
So if you see this video, like, there's a video Tim's going to post on the Facebook later.
Yes, sir.
Basically, it's like a 2 to 3 minute video. Like, these are like the happiest people ever at work.
Man, it makes me want to go to North Carolina, get some coffee. Like, if I ever go to North Carolina, I definitely want to stop at this coffee shop.
Yeah, I didn't see that all the proceeds were going to charities. It's called Billy and Bew's, if I remember right.
Yeah, that's what the coffee shop is called. Biddy and Bew's.
Biddy and Bew's. It's kind of crazy that, you know, 70% of adults with mental disabilities can't get a job. in America. But now, what am I saying? I got a college degree and I'm going back to school because I couldn't get a job in America.
But still, it is a struggle.
But still, like, you would think, like, it wouldn't be that difficult to get someone a job, have them do something. And they're, like, so happy at work in this video, man. Like, so happy.
Man, like, the best employees to have right now. Like, watching this video, it did make me happy. It put a smile on your face. So if you guys are listening, when you guys watch this, you're going to be just as confused as JP. Like, why can't they find a job? This doesn't make any sense right now. Like, why not hire them?
Absolutely. Yeah, but it's a great video. Check it out. We'll make sure Tim remembers to post it.
Touche. Make sure you guys follow our Facebook page at the Positive Truth Podcast. That's where we'll upload it to.
So for my next positive news story, I'm going to stick in the old Pride Month and the Pride Week in cool. Seattle. They had their annual Pride celebration, and they had a first ever in America. Do you want to guess what that first in America is, Tim?
I have no clue.
So Nathaniel, I cannot say his last name, but I'm going to try. Boheme is currently serving the Air National Guard out of Portland. And he became the first person in history to be the first active duty gay military member with permission from the Pentagon to march in uniform in the Seattle Pride Parade.
Wow. I did not hear about this. Yeah. That's like really, really, really cool, man. Like, I'm sorry. I'm really impressed. I'm really impressed. Like, this whole, because, you know, Pride Week was here in Oklahoma this past week, and, like, they had all these, parades and stuff, and the Oklahoma City bus, the story that you talked about last time, the principal on the bus was actually my cross-country coach when I was in high school my freshman year, who's also the principal at Southeast right now.
What? Who is this?
Melissa Hall. She was a principal at Jefferson, I think, whenever we were in high school, so you probably might know her, but she was a teacher at Grant our freshman year of high school, which is ridiculous. They had Coach Thompson was actually on the bus, the Oklahoma City bus as well. Like, there's a lot of people that we knew that were on that bus, and I was just like, this is so awesome. And to hear that, you know, somebody in the military of all things got permission from the Pentagon to march, man, I'm clapping right now. I'm definitely silent clapping.
Yeah, like, how many people can say, like, yeah, I've got the permission from the Pentagon to do something?
That is a pretty badass move right there, though, still.
He enlisted 6 days before the September 11th terror attack, so 2001. So he's been serving for basically 16 years, and he just now got permission. It's crazy we've never allowed this yet. Like, heaven forbid you can't be homosexual and talk about it and be enlisted in the Army.
Don't ask, don't tell. That's how it used to be, man.
Well, thankfully, those things are changing.
Agreed.
Tim, what you got?
Oh, man, my next story. I cannot tell you where it's from right now. Actually, I can, but I don't know how to pronounce it.
Can you give me a country?
China?
Yeah.
So check this out. It's a positive news story. This patient had six... She had, let's just say, an abundance of tumors throughout her body.
Oh, and okay, Tim.
There's a lot. There was like, I want to do the math, but there's a lot of tumors. It was different types of tumors throughout this person's body. Well, these two doctors, they decided they were going to get all these tumors out. It took 32 hours, JP, for them to take all these tumors out of this person's body. From Saturday morning at 8:30 a.m. until Sunday, surgeons work with great patients at an operating table. According to the Chinese newspaper, this was the longest operation to be ever that was ever had at this hospital. It's called the Fujian Medical University Union Hospital. And one of the surgeons, Dr. Chen, I don't want to say his last name, said the patient had both an aneurysm and brainstem hemangioblastoma. Yeah, I can't say it, man. Basically, they needed to remove both of the tumors, and it required six different surgeries. And it just became difficult and risky, and it kept getting harder throughout time, but they stuck to it. They stayed patient, and after 32 hours, they finished and laid down on the operating room floor and took a nap. There's actually a picture I will upload that you guys can see. You'll have one of the surgeons laying down on the ground with a peace sign in the air because he's just done. It's a true story. True story. If you guys want to check it out, the Positive Truth Podcast on Facebook, make sure you guys check it out. It's kind of a cool picture to look at. Some doctors on the ground just done for.
So, like, what I'm doing right now is I'm studying for a new job. That's what I was doing before this podcast. That's what I'm going to do after we record this podcast. And I'm doing this little thing where I've broken it down into, like, parts. And I'll do the part for, like, in, you know, 30, 45 minutes. And then it's like, I need a break. I need, like, 20 minutes to myself. That's after, like, 40 minutes, right?
Right.
You're supposed to do something 32 hours straight? That's crazy. Like, did they sub out, like, subs, you know, like wrestling, like, tag me in, coach?
Man, I hope they did, because exactly what you're saying, I don't have the ability to focus that long. And for 32 hours, I mean, that's like, I could have took, you know, two or three naps in that amount of time and slept for, you know, a good 8 hours in between that. Like, it's impressive, man.
Like, were the nurses subbing out? How did they... Did they keep the lady under for 32 straight hours?
Yeah, man. 32 straight hours.
They kept her asleep for that long?
Well, I hope. Whoa, man. I don't know. We might have to come back and look at that.
Oof.
That'd be tough. 32 hours straight?
I got put to sleep once. And I remember after I woke up, like I couldn't remember hardly anything. But I felt so sick that next day. Like, just like a mentally groggy sick. And I was only asleep for like an hour.
I have a similar story, except for I didn't get sick. I just didn't know the surgery happened.
What?
Well, I had appendicitis, and, you know, they put you to sleep. I woke up and was like, my mom was right next to me, and I was like, are they going to do the surgery? And she was like, girl, boy, you already done. I'm like, what? Looked down, I had a cut on my side and everything. I'm like, whoa.
Well, that's how I was too. Like, knocked out. I kind of remember some stuff. Not really. And I woke up in my bed and I was like, wait, what? How am I here?
That's like the scariest feeling too, for sure.
I hope I didn't say anything stupid. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you ever see those videos of, like, people get their wisdom tooth removed?
Oh, man, those are hilarious.
Yes. Like, I hope I didn't say anything stupid.
Like, I go to Hogwarts.
That's okay.
Yeah, we definitely got to record that.
I will be a wizard, Harry. That's a horrible British accent. Cannot do accents.
That was terrible. I can't either. That's why I didn't even try.
See, I'll be okay with that. It'd be like anything else. Just, yeah. Anyways, I'm glad that person's all right to get back
100.
On track. 100.
100.
I don't know how anyone could pull that off. You were talking about an aneurysm. That means she had, like, some sort of brain tumor.
Right.
So, yeah. I don't know. Congratulations to them. Hopefully, we have a follow-up story where she turns out to be all right.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. She was okay. Let's just follow up on the recovery. 100.
So, for my last positive news story today, I'm going to talk about the Cleveland Cavaliers and how they donated $875,000 to Habitat for Humanity. You want to know how they raised this money?
How'd they raise it?
So, during the NBA Finals, they would have, like, for away games, they would have, like, fans come to the arena, and it was $10. You could sit in the arena and watch the game on their Jumbotron. All that money went to charity, and they did three games, basically, on the road, so it turned out to be $875,000.
That is wild.
Yeah, man.
Congrats to them, man. Shout out to them. That's awesome. How much money did they raise again? Say that number again.
$875,000 in three games. So you got to figure it's like, let's say if the stadium fills like 17, 18,000 people, $10 a pop.
Man.
They probably sold beverages.
Man, that's such a great idea as well.
Yeah, they should do that for every playoff game. The only problem with sitting in arenas to watch, like, something on the Jumbotron is those seats are really small.
Yeah, they are. But, I mean, For the environment, though, like, I really feel like people would enjoy it still. I mean, I love going to games, period. Whether we're, like, blowing somebody out or not. So I'm sure people would enjoy a playoff game.
Yeah, I mean, I would do it. It's just like, Tim, like, we're not the biggest people in America.
Touche.
I barely fit in that seat.
I'm sitting there all comfortable, like, and everything. Oh, man. But yeah, man, that definitely would be a good idea to do, for sure. $875,000.
That's a lot of money to charity. Hopefully, yes, more teams start doing it.
Yeah, man, for sure. Well, let me go ahead and let you guys know my last one. My last one actually is about a doctor and nurse duo, husband and wife, Camille and Giraldi. I hope I said their names right. You guys know we butcher names like on a daily basis here at The Positive Truth. We apologize.
That's that Oklahoma education right there.
Tú sabes. In the last 4 decades, this couple has adopted 88 children with special needs when they were infants, actually. So literally from when they were babies.
What? Are they sleeping? Have they slept in 40 years?
Yo, exactly, man. That's 88 kids in 40 years. It comes with its ups and its downs, of course, you know. Their story started in 1986 at the Miami Children's Hospital, where Camille sat by the bedside of a critically ill children who had been abandoned. Michael found Camille the night after night, you know, basically at the hospital, long after her shift ended, reading to the children or just holding their hands. Camille started bringing these kids home with her, the ones who from the hospital who the staff couldn't do anything for, and then she ended up, hey, I want to adopt. And that's where it began. They just continued doing it. These kids that were getting abandoned at hospitals, a family stopped coming to see them, she would end up adopting them, and that's how their family started. Over the years, they went from, you know, 2, 5, 8, and then 32, and it just kept growing from there. Like I said, though, she has had most of these children while they were infants, and, you know, from over the past 40 years, they live, they pass away, and they continue living out their lives. And over the years, they have had 32 children that they've adopted have passed away, but they live so much longer with them than they would have without them, because all the kids that they've adopted were expected to die within less than 5 years. And Camille, who's 68 years old right now, says, you know, yes, we have lost a lot of children, but so many of them lived, and they lived happily. It's a really, really awesome story. It's inspiring. And they're actually getting ready to go on their 40th anniversary, which is freaking awesome. So, like, congrats to them. Shout out to them. They're super inspiring. To Camille and Giraldi, I hope I said your names right.
So they've been adopting since 86? That's like 30 years, right?
Yeah.
How big is their house?
Man, I have no idea, but I'm looking at, like, a family photo right now, it seems like. And there's 2, 4, 6, 8. Man, there's probably 25 people in this picture right now.
And so every kid they adopted was supposed to die before the age of 5?
Within the next 5 years, basically. I think the oldest kid they adopted was 8 years old.
So they had some sort of, like, health problem? All of them?
Yeah, all of them had some kind of health problem. Not every single one of them, but I would say probably 90% of the kids that they've adopted probably had some kind of health problem, but most of them were not expected to live for more than 5 years after they adopted them. And it looks like some of them have some children of their own now. It looks like they have some grandchildren, actually.
Some.
Some, well, yeah.
Imagine Christmas with them.
My pockets cannot handle it.
Well, their pockets can handle 40 kids and 40 medical bills.
Touché. Touche.
So I think they'll be okay at Christmas. Man, I know this is uplifting and positive news, but I feel like I have to say this. That was the most depressing thing I think you've ever said, Tim, when you said parents just stop visiting the kids in the hospital.
Man, that is depressing. It really is.
What is wrong with you?
It is, man, but I was trying to, you know, show people, look, negative things happen in the world, but there's always people out there like Camille and Giraldi who...
And we're back. Sorry about that. Tim is testing my editing with his phone. Had a little bit of technical difficulties. This podcast would be amazing if we ever got a sponsor so we could afford any of this.
Touche, touche.
Tim, before your phone dies, do you have a positive quote?
Yes, sir, I do. But before we get this positive quote, let me go ahead and tell you guys where you guys can find us again. Make sure you guys are following us on Instagram at The Positive Truth, on Facebook at The Positive Truth Podcast, on Twitter at TPT_podcast, iTunes, YouTube, Google Play, and SoundCloud. Did I miss anything?
I was too busy laughing to be paying attention.
All right. Well, so we can get out of here before my phone trashes again. The quote of the day is, if it doesn't challenge you, it won't change you. Fred DeVito.
Tim, that's how your phone is telling you right now.
Touche. I'm about to change phones. That's what I'm about to do.
So, stay out. I mean, everyone stay up. Everyone stay positive.
Yes, sir. Have a good day, guys.